Let's have a bear meeting here.
Brian Baldinger.
Everybody, on their feet!
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real coach and a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
Caleb got off to a good start. Complete his first five passes. They had a 3rd and 9 right here. And he takes this little five-step drop, and he's ready to throw. Right? And there's nobody open. Nobody's looking for the ball. And the result is Alshire comes. Here comes Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. And the quarterback takes that hit. Like, I don't know how he got up from the hit, but you can't do this to your rookie quarterback. You just can't.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Oh, this is awesome.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, the host of the Best Football Show podcast, and insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Yeah. And Brian, good morning. He joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Morning, Brian.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
We're, you know, kind of dealing with this season. We're confounded a little bit. And look, I mean, we understand that a rookie quarterback is going to take some time. He's got to get up and running. But I don't think we were prepared for how unprepared the offensive line would be as a unit. The injuries that they're kind of carrying, dealing with, and the amount of hits that Williams took last week. He was sacked 7 times, and he was hit 11 times. And that's a lot. I mean, he, by the end of the game, everyone was like, oh, you know, he's upset, he's frustrated. I thought he looked exhausted. He looked like he'd been through 12 rounds, for God's sake.
I don't know how he got up from some of those hits, to be honest with you. And it's not all the offensive line. I mean, I don't understand the offense, especially on third downs. I mean, there's just no easy completions for Caleb. I mean, I'm not here to defend Caleb. He can do that himself. But, I mean, you got to get some help from your coordinator and from the passing game. You can't just run one-on-ones against Derek Stingley and some of these guys and just wait for these guys to get open when Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson are chasing you like that. And D'Amico Ryans is dialing up one blitz after another, and you're running these deep routes on 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 3. Like, it's the same thing happened week 1. Like, you can have some deep routes, but where's the underneath where DJ could catch a 3-yard route and run for 6 for a first down? Like, there's no option to do that right now. So I think if I was Caleb, I would be frustrated by it. It also would help if they could run the ball. I mean, they're not doing a lot of things well offensively right now, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, they're not scoring enough points. The defense kept in that game was 16-10 forever. All they needed was a touchdown, one drive. Like, they couldn't put one drive together in a very winnable game against a great team.
How much do you think it is that the Bears were playing one of the better teams in the AFC, and how much of it is the Bears just not having either the type of game plan that you described that wasn't an intelligent one, or just the lack of personnel that they might have along the offensive line?
Well, I mean, the offensive line got exposed, no doubt. They've given up 9 sacks here. I mean, he's dropped back to throw it 70 times. He's been sacked 9 times. Like, that's not a good ratio for anybody. I'm not saying it's not all Caleb's, but it's not all Caleb's fault. I mean, there's got to just, like, you know they're going to play a ton of man defense. That's what they do. Like, where's your man beaters? Where's your bunch formations? You know, I mean, there's just certain things that you have at your disposal in your arsenal, you should have, in order to defeat and combat some of the things that they do defensively. And so right now, I mean, look, I say it all the time, September's the new August. So you got time to get this thing fixed. But you better get it fixed. Otherwise, your quarterback is not going to survive this season.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, your grocery store. It adds extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Good with French fries, believe it or not. Not making that up. And, Brian, I think when we look at where the Bears have been at and where they're going, you can't help but feel like the reaction to the loss makes them a Vegas. They're not favored heading to Indy. I thought before the year that Indy was kind of going to be a team they might be able to win at, and the fine folks at Vegas said the Bears are a point and a half underdog, and I think that's a reaction to seeing them thus far. I don't think that's a reaction to necessarily the betting market. Everything's the betting market, but I'm saying I think people look at them and they no longer are willing to back them because of what happened last week and because of the amount of pressure, even against the team that has allowed a lot of running yards. This might be a way to get healthy in your running game, but as you say, we don't know what the hell kind of offense they're running. It's difficult to figure out.
Yeah, well, they got to get that figured out. I mean, the good thing is the defense, you know, really stiffened up last week, and that they defended a great offense about as well as you can defend it. To give up what they did, 19 points, and give up one touchdown the whole day to that offense and that quarterback and those receivers, it's remarkable. I mean, the Bears, I mean, that was a great defensive effort. I feel like it's a wasted defensive effort. I mean, that was a very winnable game. The defense allowed them to do it. Joe Mixon ran for 160 yards against the Colts the week before. He couldn't get 2 yards of carry in that game. I mean, I actually said it around the league. You want to go fix run defense in this league, which is broken in so many places? Like, go watch the Bears last week play run defense. It's how you have to play it. And I think Matt Eberflus knows that. Like, they got a challenge this week with Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor. But it doesn't really matter who's carrying the ball. If you play defense like that and you are – if your run fits are perfect like they were for most of the game, you know, then you tackle like they did. I mean, and then that secondary, which is extremely talented, plays like they did. It's going to be tough on Anthony Richardson, who's completing less than 50% of his passes right now and looks willing to throw it to the other team on occasion as well.
Brian, you look at the Bears, and you're exactly right about the defense. Over the last 8 games going into last season, they've allowed 20 points or fewer, and it's the longest current streak in the league. Especially impressive has been their ability to adjust in the second half this year, only giving up 3 points in 2 games after halftime. Whether it's adjustments, whether it's just renewed focus, whatever it is, what are you seeing? And when you look at this defense playing Richardson, is this an opportunity for them to have more takeaways because he'll throw you the football?
Well, I feel like you could put blindfolds on these linebackers right now. They'd hit the right gap. Like, it's just that effective, you know, and it's just everywhere. It's Sanborn. It's, you know, it's Edmonds. It's Edwards. It's all of them. It's Brisker. Like, they build their 8-man box on first downs to stop the run. Like, good luck. Because all the guys up front are doing their jobs. And, you know, like, if you look at, you know, some of their defensive linemen, they're not sexy and they're not known around the league. But when you get, you know, Andrew Billings just plugging the A-gap, and you get, you know, I don't know, Dexter. I mean, those guys are playing great football. They're right where they need to be. And so it's just impressive. Just impressive to see them. Like, you know, I mean, I feel like it's Urlacher and Briggs in there right now. I mean, I don't want to compare these guys, you know, to that tandem, but that's what it feels like to me. It feels like that era of Bears football. And it's fun to watch. It's really fun to watch. And then I don't care what play it is. It could be a scramble to Nico Collins. At the end of any play last week, there's at least 6 Bears at the ball, and sometimes there's 10. Like, they get to the football. Like, Flus has them going, man. They have them running. Like, this is going to be a challenge for any team, not just the Colts. It's going to be a challenge for any team. And Jalen and Tyreek and, like, that group, and we haven't even, you know, gotten to the playmaking ability right now that Kevin Byard has. Like, that guy's going to come up with some interceptions soon. He's just too good of a football player and too instinctive. He did it at Middle Tennessee State. He did it at Tennessee. The guy's a ball hawk. Like, it's coming. It's coming. And it might be this week when, you know, Anthony, sometimes the guy looks like he's Aaron Judge at the plate, and sometimes he looks like, you know, the ball's just sailing him. So, you know, this could be a weekend where the defense could do some scoring for this team.
I'm curious, Brian, as you look at the various tapes of the game, and I know you break down the all 22, but DJ Moore was spotted on the television thing looking kind of disappointed. There were people trying to lip read what he was saying on the sidelines, and he came out. We talked to him on a weekly basis, and he is not a diva receiver. He's like actually a really good dude. And he said that he regretted showing emotion and that he felt like he would be more he had to do some self-evaluating and he would be more careful about controlling his emotions. He said he was just disappointed that they seemed like they were just close to but unable to get a play going. And they were very close, and he was just frustrated, but he understood it came across as he was kind of acting, having a fit about the quarterback, and that's not what he was doing. I'm just curious, how, you know, for people who don't know the guy, how did it come across? Do you believe that he looked like his body language is showing that he was angry about stuff and trying to show up the quarterback? And I just felt that he's a relatively good guy. I was surprised that it was taken that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, you're reading body language and, you know, lip reading and all that kind of stuff that happens. Look, I mean, he got targeted 10 times in the game. He was getting that action. You know, they couldn't finish drives, you know, and it's frustrating, man. The defense can't play any better against that group, and they kept getting the ball back to him. The whole second half, they got the ball back to him. They just had to put one drive together. That, if I was DJ, he's not a diva by any stretch. He never has been. Going back to University of Maryland, he never has been. He was on bad Carolina teams. He never displayed that that behavior. Terrible Carolina teams. But, I mean, you're down there, and you're like, you know, the crowd is quiet. They're not exactly, you know, having a big party down there for the Texans. And you got a chance to beat a good team. It's going to frustrate a lot of people. Wide receivers, it's going to frustrate a lot of people. In a game where you're like, can we just get a play? Just a play here. And they couldn't make that play. And so I don't think it's anything more than that.
Before I let you go, Baldy, you look around the league, 69 touchdown passes through 2 weeks, lowest total in about 15 years. No rookie quarterbacks have thrown a touchdown pass yet. Is defense back in the NFL?
I think we lost Brian.
We lost Baldy.
But I'm going to answer that question for you.
Answer it for me. Thank you to Brian Baldinger.
I just think it takes a little bit. I think you got to give him another
one. Why this year is it taking longer than most years?
Because
tell me that, Baldy.
Because people can kick 50-yard field goals.
But that, I wonder if it's related. I do wonder if the two things are connected. You look around the league, and that's the kind of history that the kickers are making this year. Kicking is back, too.
Kicking is back.
Now, why is that in not just what we saw Sunday night in Houston, but around the league? I think there's only been four misses, 35 or 39 perhaps, get the numbers, of 50 or more already through 2 weeks, Mully.
It's ridiculous.
And teams are not going for it on fourth down as often.
Because they can get – I mean, what would you do if you – You know, think about
it. I'm a guy that takes the points.
That you're going to, yeah.
I think they keep score for a reason.
Yes. And by the way, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, the host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You love it, David. May your game be delicious.
That last question really must have just thrown him off.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to go after him like that, he's going to hang up.
I wasn't going after anybody.
I'm totally joking. So I think we lost the phone connection.
NFL kickers are 35 of 37 on 50 or more.
That's ridiculous.
Yard field goals.
Yeah.
And get this, the two misses?
Yeah.
Justin Tucker.
You're kidding. He missed both of them?
Who's accountable.
And he's a guy that has been,
he's the most accurate kicker in NFL history.
I know.
I'm
crazy.
Astounded. Befuddled. Bewildered. All those things.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about the Bears. There were 5 50-yard field goals in that game. Houston hit 3 of them, including a 59-yarder. A 59-yard field goal right before the half. It was a big moment.
Ideal conditions.
And there were ideal conditions.
Although
the roof was open.
The roof was open, but it was open for a reason. Why was the roof open, David? Because there were ideal conditions.
Because it was raining. What?